1, Acts chapter 1, the very first prayer meeting of 2026. I remember when I was in school and I looked ahead, I don't know what grade I was in, but I was supposed to graduate in 1974. And that was so far in the future, I thought, that year will never come. Wow, we're at 2026 now. Amen. Brother Barry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Yeah, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to gather together tonight. And just for the what a privilege it is to be able to come together, to be able to sing, to be able to pray, to be able to hear your word. So just ask that you would bless this time. And as we study your word, please teach us, draw us closer to yourself. Just prepare us for what we have yet to face this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, this is the first meeting after Jesus' ascension back to heaven we're looking at tonight. But we'll start in Acts 1, verse 6, and we'll read through 14, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Verse 12, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in what? Prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So the first meeting they ever had after Jesus ascended back into heaven was a prayer meeting. That was the first meeting they had. And tonight is the first prayer meeting of this year as we gather together. You know, life for the disciples after Jesus ascended back into heaven would just never be the same. I mean, before they got to ask him questions. I mean, once you just love to be able to ask the Lord, you know, when you have a decision to make, wouldn't it be wonderful just to be able to just talk to him and hear him audibly speak back? They would never enjoy that again, though, because he ascended back to heaven. Things would be so much different. When I was young, as I mentioned about graduating from high school, I was looking so much forward to graduating from high school. And I was ready to just get out of school and work. I had had enough of school, 13 years of it. And my senior year, I was working, I think, half of a day. It was what they called the work co-op. And so I was working about as much as I was in school anyway that 12th grade year. But when I graduated, I was faced with some feelings that surprised me. Because, you know, in graduation, back in those days, maybe they still do it, but at graduation time, after you'd graduate, the young people would go out on the lawn in front of the school and they would just spin their hat like a frisbee. You know, they would just, you know, it's supposed to be happy, happy now, you know, now that you're graduated. But, you know, when I graduated, I had these feelings like, whoa, I thought I was just going to be happy now. But this tremendous weight of responsibility now came upon me. And And I thought, why is this happening? Well, it was because for the last 13 years of my life, kindergarten through 12th grade, I had a course that was laid out before me that I had to complete. And so it's not that I never thought about the future, but, you know, every 9 months of the year, I know I had to go to school. But suddenly school was over. And, you know, I thought I knew what I wanted to do, but just that heavy responsibility, like, okay, now it's your responsibility. You got to figure it out. And, well, I knew construction work, and there was an opportunity, so I just went to work in construction. But when I was a young boy, I stood up in a gathering, and I said I would do whatever the Lord wanted me to do in my life. But when I graduated, I never asked the Lord. I just did what I thought I wanted to do, construction work. Well, so about a year after graduation, I'm in construction work, and the construction industry hit a terrible slump, and we were out of work. And so we had to search for work, and I hired in at a truss rafter factory sometime the week before Sandy and I were married. You know, that wasn't any fun. You're engaged to be married, and suddenly you're out of work. Well, you're not just going to cancel getting married. You know, you're just going to make it work. And so anyway, so when I got back from our honeymoon, I started a new job. So a new life being married, a new job. We were expecting a baby. My wife became very sick. The doctor put her in the hospital. And I thought, it wasn't supposed to go this way. You know, I wasn't supposed to run out of work, and I took a job for about half the pay that I'd been getting in construction work, and things just weren't going so well. But God had to get my attention to cause me to remember what I told him when I was a boy. I'll do whatever he wanted me to do. So when I left Sandy in the hospital that night, go with me to Isaiah 41, I went home and lay on the bed and was reading my Bible, and I came across this verse. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, that's not a real short verse to memorize, but that was the first verse I remember memorizing after we were married. Now, I really needed that verse in those days. And I've, you know, in times like that, you know, you lose your job, you get another job you don't really enjoy. It's for about half the pay. You've already got bills to pay. I was in the process of making payments on a mobile home that we lived in. And the park rent, and then switch that for land payments. And what was happening in my life? All these things were coming up in my life, and I didn't know it was going to go that way. But it may be illustrated for you tonight by this example I'm going to give you. I have a builder's license, and every few years it has to be renewed. But they make you to do continuing education along with it. So you have to do so many hours of that to be able to get your license again renewed. So I recently started taking those classes. It has to be renewed this year. And in one example, they gave a contractor was hired to add a second story to a person's garage. And so he put the second story on, and after some time, the homeowner came and said, something's not right. My garage floor is raising, and I guess, by the way the example was given, I guess he probably told the homeowner, I built that story up there. I didn't pour your cement. That's your problem to see to. Well, I don't remember who the man got to look at it, but someone came in and examined it. And he told him, he says, your cement floor is not rising. Your walls are sinking into the ground. And so the foundation was not a frost wall. The foundation was not put down in the ground. It was just a garage, and someone just put just a ground level footing on there, not expecting somebody to add another level above, which would weigh more than double the weight on that. And that foundation was not holding. Well, you get a foundation like that, a footing like that, and it can freeze right under it. So each year you can have freezing and thawing under it, and that causes the weight to gradually sink. You can see that with porches many times and sidewalks that are poured up close to a house. They sink over time. It's because the heat of the house keeps that soil there from freezing too much anyway, and so you get the freeze thaw, and it just the soil is soft. And so that homeowner ended up having to hire a company to come out and jack it up to the right height, and I think they probably do that by hydraulic with the cement. But anyway, they had to pour so many cement pillars under that footing down deep enough into the ground where it would hold up that extra weight. And he says it was very expensive. Now, if you remember when Brother Charles Westkill passed away, was killed in Cameroon, Sister Stephanie came home with the children, and they bought a house. I guess it was in Indiana somewhere. A group of us went down and worked on it. She wanted a bathroom upstairs, a shower added to it, and in the basement she wanted a bathroom added in the basement. And we got down there, and you walk in the house, and it's like, ooh, something's wrong here. I don't know how many inches out of level that house was, but greatly leaning toward the back of the house. It was a walkout basement, and there was a little bank down there. So I don't know who gave her the counsel about buying that house, but I felt so bad. I thought, if you jump out of bed in that house in the morning, you might just he might just keep tumbling. I mean, it was, I don't know how many inches out of level, but it was horrible. And, well, they had engineers, I guess before she bought it, they had engineers come out and look at it. And, well, yeah, it's way out of level, but they said it was stable. It must have sunk like that when they built it, but they declared it stable now. Of course, they recommended her raising it up, but I think back then it was, maybe some of you guys remember, I was thinking it was in the 20,000s or higher to try to raise that up with that same process of injecting cement down under that footing. But we discovered the problem, why that house was leaning. We got down in the basement to put in a new shower, bathroom, and we were going to hook into the sewer line that the washing machine emptied into. And so we opened that up, and it was not a solid pipe. It was a perforated pipe. It was just a drain pipe like you would put off from draining the water off the roof of your house. Well, that's not what they run water into normally. And you cannot run sewage into a pipe like that. So we wondered what was going on. So we had to cut in these new pipes and for the shower, and we ended up having to put a lift pump to and then raise it up and go up into the regular sewer line. But we got down in there, and that under the cement slab in that basement, it was just saturated with water. the washing machine was dumping into that, and every load that went through the washing machine was dumping all that water below the cement in that basement. And that laundry room was right on the back side of the house, and so the way the water is going to flow would be under that side of the house and down the slope. That's the way the house was tipping right there. It's kind of like building your house on a swamp. Just, I don't know how many hundreds of gallons of water a week must have been put under that basement slab by that washing machine just dumping into it and draining below the cement, the basement floor. And so I don't think that house was stable at all. The whole backside was a continual bog, a swamp, mushy soil, because all that water was draining out there. So, and I thought about those two things, and I thought, you know, sometimes in life we make the same mistake as that homeowner, or maybe even as the engineers who told her, well, it's sure leaning all right, and you should get it jacked up, but we think it's stable. We don't think it's unsafe. Sometimes we make the same mistake in life. Sometimes it just seems like trouble was popping up out of the ground. Doesn't it seem that way sometimes? It just seems like problems are just popping right up out of the ground. And we're thinking, what's causing them to pop up out of the ground? What's going on here? But like with that garage, the cement floor was not popping up out of the ground. The foundation was sinking. The walls were sinking because of the weight. Sometimes when trouble just seems to pop out of nowhere, we may think, Lord, why don't you rebuke the devil and his angels? And why don't you rebuke these people that are just tormenting me in my life? Well, they might not just be popping up out of nowhere. Notice with me in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. You know what? Everyone faces problems. Everyone faces temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is what? Common to man. That means everyone faces these things. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. If you face a temptation, scores of other people are facing the same temptation. But what does it say then? But God is what? Faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, sometimes if it seems like temptations are getting thrown right in our face, it might not be that those temptations have come up. I remember hearing a preacher, can't think of his name, but anyway, he was I think it was a Green Beret, and he said, I don't know if they were in Vietnam, some jungle country he was in the military, and he said they got in a hut for the night, him and another soldier, and suddenly they realized there was a cobra in there, in that room. And they saw it rising up, and he said, I haven't checked out the facts, but he said a cobra will rise up to whatever height you are, and when it does, then it'll strike at you. And so he's watching this cobra rise up. And I mean, he's terrified, as anyone would. And so he got his machete and he held it right out there. And he said when the cobra struck, it took off its head and spared his life. But sometimes we may think, why are these problems coming up in my face? Well, maybe it's not because they're coming up, but maybe it's we're living a life where we've sunken down to that level. Brother Jim had an afternoon Sunday school class in Chattanooga, and it was for down and outer type guys, and we went to just a lot of filthy places. But anyway, one was an old hotel that should have been condemned, and one of the one of the guys come up and was talking to him, and his eyes were all glassy, like he had been drugged up or drunk up for years. And he says, I used to go to the same school you're going to. I was in Bible college there. And now he's drug addict, drunk, wicked, and more, living in a filthy place. And it's like, you what? You were once in Bible college? Unbelievable. Well, it wasn't just that all these horrible sins came up to his face and took him away. It's that his life had sunk to that low. And that's why he was in such a mess there. Notice in Galatians 5, and verse 16. Galatians 5 and verse 16. It says, this I say then, walk what? In the Spirit, and ye shall not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if we're walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we've got to be walking on solid ground. Our foundation has to be Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we need a life that's stable, not walking in the bogs, walking in the mud. Down at Wabasas Park in the summer, if you go to certain spots in that park, it feels like you're walking on sponges. You can just feel the ground. It's spongy. There's so many springs in that park. But it says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Multitudes of people are tempted with the lust of the flesh. But sometimes if it's right in their face, maybe the problem isn't that it rose up like the cobra in front of them. It just might be they're walking on ground that's not solid. Like that garage was sinking. Maybe in their lives they've been sinking more and more. It's really like in Sister Stephanie's house that she had. It's really easy in life to just flood our minds with maybe online news. It's very easy to get the Bible reading done and then spend a lot of time with online news. What might happen? Well, if we spend more time dumping the washing machine of online news into our minds and hearts more than the Word of God, it just might be we'll have the same problem our house did. It started tilting in that direction. And it was a mess for Sister Stephanie. It's no wonder sometimes that the things that used to seem sure and rock solid now seem spongy, now seem like they're not so solid anymore. Well, it's not that those are new temptations, but when we don't have a sure foundation, we can sink to that low. Notice in 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy 2, and verse 19. 2 Timothy 2, 19, we'll read through 21. Nevertheless, the what? The foundation of who? God standeth what? Sure. That's what we need. I still think of that homeowner going to the carpenter. You got to come and look at my garage. The cement is rising. Cement wasn't rising. The garage walls were sinking. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, what? Depart from iniquity. And if we don't depart from iniquity, then we shouldn't be surprised if the floor seems like it's rising. If temptation seems like it's rising, it just might be that we're not departing from iniquity as we should be. We're sinking to a new low. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore, what? Purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That's what I want to be. I mean, when I was a boy, I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do in my life. But then I didn't give the Lord the choice until some years after graduation. But how do we get, this verse says, meet for the master's use? Well, number one, we've got to flee from some things. And number two, we have to follow some other things. Verse 22, flee also what? Youthful lust. But what? Here's follow. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of what? A pure heart. So remember this first meeting. Let's go back to Acts 1. The first meeting they had after Jesus ascended back to heaven was a prayer meeting. This is the first Wednesday night of 2026, and we're here for a prayer meeting. We need that. Acts 1:14. These all continued with one accord in what? Prayer and supplication. Why didn't Daniel sink when they outlawed prayer? Well, let's look at that. Daniel chapter 6. Now, something came up. What happened? Daniel 6 and verse 7. Let's read 7 through 10. Daniel 6, 7. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and what? Prayed, and gave thanks before his God as what? He did aforetime. Daniel had a sure, solid foundation. His life, he was used to this 3 times a day, opening his window toward Jerusalem and praying. So when they made a law against prayer, it didn't faze him because that's what he had been doing. He had sure footing in this. And so he continued to pray, and God delivered him from the den of lions. Notice in Luke 18, if we have a solid prayer foundation, we will not sink, will not faint. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to what? To pray and not what? To faint. So, do we have the solid foundation? It just really got me thinking about our spiritual lives, because there sometimes it just seems like problems pop out of nowhere. And I don't know, and none of us know the causes of everything. I mean, with Job didn't know the cause of it. And it was not that Job was sinking to a new low, why all that happened to him. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Everyone faces temptations, but for some people, it just seems like it's in their face and they just can't say no. And if something like that happens, we should ask ourselves the question, are all these things rising up like the cobra, my level with my eyes, and trying to destroy me, take me, tempt me? Or is it that these low-life things are on the same level they've always been, but that I have sunk to a low in my spiritual life? It's a good question to ask us. The carpenter didn't know why the cement was rising. The building inspector didn't know why the cement was rising. Everything had been approved. But there was a problem. In closing, let's go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. So we're here in this prayer meeting, and how important. That was one of the last pieces of instruction that Jesus gave before he was crucified to his disciples. Matthew 26, 41. And he's talking to Peter in particular, but all the disciples. He says, verse 41, watch and what? Pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. So, walk not in the flesh, but in the spirit. We need to pray. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I pray that God would help us, starting out this brand new year, first Wednesday night, we're here to pray. We're here to get on solid ground. We want to walk this year in the spirit and not in the flesh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us. Father, I pray that we would be people of prayer, like Daniel, every day, spending time in prayer, spending time in your word. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, that indeed we do ask you to rebuke the devil and his angels. We do ask you, Lord, to protect us from those that would try to deceive us, try to entice us to do the wrong things. We do pray and ask that you would help us, that we would enter not into temptation. Lord, I thank you that our salvation is on the solid foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray now as we walk through this life that we would walk on solid ground, a solid spiritual life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our